Welcome. This is Christopher Holmes, and this is the Zero Point Radio Show through BBS Radio. We're on every second week, Saturday 4 to 6 Eastern, and 1 to 3 Pacific. And we have some interesting guests on today, and I'll just take a moment to just give a little bit of background. I've run this show through BBS now for about 8 years, I think, or 7 to 8 years. And it was about 6 years ago that I woke up to what was happening in the world. And to me, what that involved, I had just done a trip to New York City to be in part of a movie there. And I came back, and my youngest son asked me if I'd seen Loose Change, which was about the 9/11 attempted or hijackings and building collapses and so on. And I had no idea about what Loose Change was about. And I watched that video 6 years ago. And I must say, it was totally shocking to me, because it was obvious when you watched the movie that obviously Muslims didn't hijack airplanes and that the airplanes didn't bring down the towers. There was something far, far deeper in it. And so for the past 6 to 7 years, I've been researching and trying to understand what's going on in the world. How could this possibly have happened to us? And over that time, I've realized how corrupted the corporate media is. The corporate media, I used to watch CBC and CTV and think that I was well informed of the news and I knew what was happening in the world. Whereas now, I won't even bother turning on the radio shows, because in a way, everything they say is a complete confabulation. The media are controlled by the government and intelligence agencies, and the whole thing is a big hoax. The whole thing. So it's really quite terrible to wake up to what's really going on in the world. And a year ago today, about a year ago, I took a trip from Ottawa, Ontario, to British Columbia. And my aim, I was invited to be part of the 9/11 Truth Conference being held in Vancouver. And one of the things I did before I left was I did a video myself, which is called, well, two of them. One is called Look at This World. And what it is, it's about a half-hour documentary on the chemtrail poisoning of the citizens of Kempville. I live in Kempville, so I did it locally, and it was a local effort to show these chemtrails. And so I produced a few hundred copies of this video, and I traveled across Canada and went to BC and attended the conference and gave out some copies of my video along the way. And one of the things I found about my video is that my video begins with a picture of the Georgia Guidestones in the state of Georgia. And the first principle of the Georgia Guidestones is that they want to maintain the Earth's population, I think it is at 500 million people. And that was how my video opened, with pictures of this Georgia Guidestone and that pronouncement by the Illuminati, I would have to call them. So anyway, while in BC, I met the two people we have on the show today, and they were in BC, and they attended the 9/11 Truth Conference, and they also had become interested in chemtrails. And so we've had them on the show several times now. Afsane has been on three or four times, and I think Tony once. So Afsane and Tony, you're welcome from Ontario to BC. How's it in BC today?
Very good, thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Christopher. Nice to talk to you again.
It was interesting. This week, I noticed there were almost no chemtrails in our sky this past week. I've watched almost every day, and I haven't seen any. But in Vancouver, you get it almost consistently, don't you?
Yes, we do. There's been quite a lot this past week. It was kind of okay in July, but they just pumped it up after the Pride Parade about 2 weeks ago.
Right. There was very little spray all through July, which was very surprising. We were all surprised by that.
Or at least maybe they were spraying at night.
Yeah,
although I didn't see it very often, although we saw it once or twice in the evening, but we saw it once or twice here and there all the time, I think.
So you must have got used to a few blue skies.
Yeah,
we had a few blue skies this summer.
It was wonderful.
Yeah, really. It's so hard for me to grok what's being done by these idiots who are doing these phenomenally depraved things to us on this planet, and chemtrails is just part of all their armamentation of weapons they use against the populations. It still astonishes me. I wonder if you can share along that line. Are you astonished by it?
I'm astonished. And more astonished every day, the more I know.
As for me, I guess I was, in the beginning, awestruck, frightened, angry. And, you know, the developments in the last year have made me happy. There's a lot more people awake, and we've got some famous people now on board, well-placed people, key people. And so, we're going to discuss.
Okay.
Later on we'll mention the news that we've got, you know, Bill Vandersom, our premier. So we've got some people on board. And you know, this is all over Europe, North America. It's not just us. And it's going to be, it's reached critical mass. And I think it, we've, just like what happened with Monsanto. I mean, Monsanto is now pulling out of Europe. So it's the same thing is going to happen with this. I'm sure of it. It has to. So yeah, I was frightened in the beginning and angry, and now, you know, I'm over that hump, and you just got to take positive action.
Yeah. Well,
I don't know if I'm quite over the hump. I don't know.
Say again, Tony.
Hi, Christopher. I was just replying to Afsanish. I don't know if I'm quite over the hump quite yet.
Yeah, I'm not.
It is disturbing, and Afsanish has certainly done a lot of positive work, handing out thousands of flyers and, you know, being a real presence with banners and a voice in a lot of places. And there's been a few people also helping Afsana and myself and you when you were here, remember?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a little while and some of the news you have to announce there. So what we want to announce is that there is a global demonstration against geoengineering, and this is being done around the world. I went to one of the maps on your site and noticed there were like dozens of capitals around the world. Can you say something about that, Afsana?
Yes, there are probably over 25 countries, last count for me, and that was last week, so I'm sure there's pretty much more, and dozens of cities. Australia has got, at least 20 cities in Australia. Of course, in the United States, it's probably up there about 30 or 25 or something like that. In any case, it's dozens of cities. Egypt, Estonia, all parts of, these obscure little countries that we seldom hear about. So, yeah, it's truly global. I'm glad to hear it. We've been trying for the last couple of years. People would throw up, a date and say, hey, everybody, let's get out on the street and go do something. And, you know, they would, you know, a couple of people would get on boards, a couple of cities here and there, a couple of groups, but never really took off. And this one just somehow, I remember as soon as I heard about it, I went and signed on, and there was just a couple of people who had signed on, a couple of cities, and, you know, the next time I checked, there was more, and the next time I checked, there was even more, and now we're up to, you know, over 26 countries. So this one took off. You know, I think we've just hit critical mass this year or something.
Wow, excellent. Okay, so
what's happening is that August 25th, 2 p.m., local time to the city. People are going to go to their city centers and march down the streets, banners and whatever, marching bands, whatever music, information, and they're just going to make a lot of noise.
Even just pass out literature and flyers for you know, I'm sure there's going to be places where there's only one person goes downtown.
And
getting the information out is so critical in this situation.
Absolutely.
That's right.
That's how it starts, you know. I guess the people who set it up, this Dane Winnington, I guess it was, from Stop Geoengineering down in California. And that was their game plan, you know. They said they had gone through the route of handing out and trying to warn the politicians somehow, try to get... but they didn't have any luck, and they decided, you know what, best just to wake up the people and get the mass of the people to put pressure on the politicians. The next step will take care of itself, but more and more people have to be notified. And I thought that was a really good strategy.
Yeah, I heard his interview on Coast to Coast. He was very good.
Yes.
Yeah, he lives, I think, by Mount Shasta. In California, I guess.
Yes.
I think
yes,
it's California.
Yes.
There have been a number of excellent YouTubes that you've sent around through your meetup group, and I hope we'll come to some of those, because there also seem to be some new innovations to chemtrails, like some new additions to it, and I'd like for us to come to that today.
Okay, sure.
We'll just continue on with the geoengineering march. So you ran a program, I think it was about 6 months ago, didn't you? And that was that locally more, that was attempted to be Canadian wide, and I think you had one in Toronto.
Yes, that's where we had a public viewing of the two films, the documentaries that were put out by Michael Murphy and company.
Yeah.
And, I think there was about three cities. I think Victoria did it and Toronto did it. That was just sort of, like I said before, sometimes, you know, you just got to put it out there and people do it or people don't. And we ourselves got about 80 people. And,
you did? Wow, excellent.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure if Toronto had a big turnout. But now this time, this global march in Toronto, just off of their Facebook, they've got over 170 people signed up.
Wow.
So I was, like, amazed. And they've got Hamilton and on Ottawa, and they've got a couple of other cities. In fact, I got an email from someone, too, who's looking for information. And so she wanted to set one up in Barrie. So in the time that, you know, in the last 4 or 5 months where, you know, they couldn't, you know, there was nobody was coming out to see these movies, to all of a sudden, you know, over 100 people, over 200-300 people are going to show up, and that's just the people who've signed up. You know, there's going to be a lot of people who will just show up. They're not going to, you know, RSV on Facebook. So
yeah.
Whatever happened, I don't know what happened, but, you know, they woke up.
Are you showing your films at the theater where we had the 9/11 conference?
No, but the owners of...
Oh, the same owner.
Yeah, the same owner. They closed that down, and they went somewhere else, and we went along to that new place that they have, and we showed the films.
Oh, yeah.
It was good. Yeah, yeah, and we had speakers, and I spoke, and it was a good turnout. Certainly, I would have liked more. We would have liked more. It was, you know, in February and so on. You know, we had some guy who came out from Penticton, and that would be the equivalent of, you know, going from Ottawa to Toronto.
Right.
And so he just came out for that. It was great. So
yeah.
I'm, and we have just in the last week, we have like I guess about 50 people RSVP'd, but I know a lot of people who are coming and they just have not RSVP'd. And the last week we got a big shot in the arm. Because our former premier, I don't know if you've heard of Bill VanderZam, he was a former premier of British Columbia, and we have a member in our group who we've been sending him information for the last year, and I've sort of seen the psychological progression where at first he was like, oh, I don't think so, and I don't think so, and I don't think so. And we just, you know, consistently sent him information, the movies, and you know, more information. And I think it just, and he's also a gardener too, right? He owns a huge botanical garden, and he just, I guess, in the last 2 months, he's been, you know, quietly figuring out and plotting how he's gonna help this cause. And this just about 5 days ago, he sent a public letter. To dozens and dozens of politicians across BC, across Western Canada, all across Canada. And
wow.
And he said, you know, in this letter he talked about Chills Geoengineering, and he talked about how at the very last he made a request, which was under Freedom of Information Act, he wants to know if there is anything going on that they must divulge it and, you know, make it, offer it to him, you know. So, and that was great. You know, that was fantastic. And a lot of people got spirited. They were very happy to have. So we're hoping that he comes along to the march with us.
Yeah, excellent. Boy, that's one of the things we need to talk about today is the destruction of the gardens. Because I've noticed that here in Ontario, but we'll come back to that. Because I've noticed major changes in the gardens, but we'll come back to that. Well, that's excellent. So you've got some support from him, and then do you have the letter from Bill VanderZam? Is it VanderZam?
It's VanderZam, as in Z-A-L-M. No, but it is available on the front page of Canada Sky Watch, and you're going to just click on, and you will, and furthermore, the next 2 days after that, he was on the radio, a public radio, you know, mainstream media, they gave him some time, and he talked about chemtrails, which was excellent.
Wow, really?
Yes, and that's also, you can hear that as well, and I encourage everybody to go listen to it and also leave a comment. We've got to encourage these mainstream media who want to bring attention to this, but, you know, there is pressure. There is big-time pressure, and I guess, you know, with VanderZam, you know, he's retired now. He doesn't have to play the game anymore, and he can evaluate, you know, with a straight mind, whether he's got to go, you know, what to do about this. You know, my suspicion is with the other politicians that I've approached and the way they just deal with me, they say this is, you know, they say this is nonsense or this doesn't exist. However, the way they deal with me is that I've frightened them. You know, it's not like as if I'm, you know, some person spewing nonsense and they want to set me straight. You know, you know what I'm saying? It's like this tense feeling. All of a sudden, as soon as they hear the word chemtrails or geoengineering, their behavior changes and they, you know, are not, they look away and they want to run away and they just say, you know, stop talking. And I personally feel that these guys have been threatened.
Yeah.
Because
I don't know about that. Here, Afsana, and I can't take much credit, but I was there for this. We asked some politicians in our last election about the chemtrails. Would you like to hear some of their replies?
Yes, I would.
Oh, will you, okay, here's the question, first of all. Will you call a halt to chemtrails and geoengineering? And here's the BC Green Party, Jane Stirk. This is not a issue that the BC Green Party is going to take on. That's what Jane Stirk of the BC Green Party said.
Yeah.
Rob Simpson of Independent, he said, we deal with issues of chemtrails in our constituency office all the time. Really? So that means he's had a lot of people in his office complaining about chemtrails.
Mm-hmm.
But quite frankly, I don't believe that the evidence is there to substantiate what people say is going on. So that's what he says. Denial. Rob Fleming, yeah. NDP environment critic. How's that? NDP environment.
Yeah, really.
My answer is similar to Bob Simpson's, and I do get these in my constituency, but I don't find this information compelling at all. So he's just interested in the environment, so the chemtrails are not, they're not part of that. They're not part of that.
Yeah, and here's poisoning us from the sky, but that's okay.
Here's Gabby Kalov, or somebody from the BC Liberals. I don't have any information on that either, he says. Here's this one here. This guy, now there's one more, and he really decided to speak up about it here. So this is Dwayne Nickel of BC Conservatives. I'm going to join the ranks with the other candidates up here on this as well. I come from a scientific background. I looked into it. If you have something that is concrete proof, but I haven't seen anything myself, I may have missed it. I admit that. I worked at the United Nations. That would be, in fact, an international issue. That's not a provincial issue, and it's not for anyone who's running for provincial office to address. It's not even for the national government to address. It would be for the national government to bring to the United Nations. So this guy's right there on the front lines. Thanks for letting me tell you those.
Wow. Yeah, it just shows that something's happened to them. They've been, as you say, I think, intimidated or threatened by the chemtrails.
Well, that guy hasn't. He's just miffed that us here in the back of the class are bringing this to the teacher when it's nothing to do with the teacher. It's to do with the outside the school altogether. This, I think. Anyway. It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
I heard you mentioned the plants in Ottawa, Christopher.
Mm-hmm.
And just reading Will Thomas's article here in the Agora newspaper out here,
mm-hmm.
and he wrote this long article. Will Thomas wrote, I think he wrote one of the original book. What was his book called, Efsana?
Chemtrails Confirmed.
Yeah. So he wrote that quite a few years ago, and then hasn't said much about chemtrails for a while. But here he wrote this brilliant article, and he mentions that in the city of Edmonton, they measured the electrical conductivity readings that are apparently measured, and apparently the readings that they allow is a one, whatever that means.
Mm-hmm.
But they tested the soil conductivity in Edmonton, and they got 4.6 to 7 times higher than one.
Yeah.
So isn't that something? So, and he says how that they're dropping basically a barium carpet on the world, and we are basically water and barium filled antennas, and the ground is a conductor also. So
what does he see the results as being of this barium carpeting, or what does he?
Well, he suggests that it's a way to manipulate humans and societies through the smart meters. So I don't know. My imagination just tells me. I suppose you can send a signal from something to all the smart meters, and maybe it would the smart meters would amplify it or redirect it into your everywhere, and you could have everybody humming along to the same vibration.
Wow!
It's like. Good vibrations? Who's that? The monkeys? Of course, they're probably going to use it for our benefit.
So he published that in the Agora. How's the Agora doing? Is it what's his publication?
Well, I'll tell you what. There's a couple of guys that have taken this on, and they've become partners, and there's a four partner deal, and they took this on as a job, and they're working really hard at it, and actually they're even getting it to pay for itself, and they've been doing that for some time now, about a year at least, or 2 years that they've been paying for itself now.
Yeah, excellent.
And,
wow.
Yeah, and
it's
they're
so
even
important
expanding.
It's so important having alternate media, because you just see the corporate media are completely oblivious to the whole thing. I mean, it's not that they're oblivious, but they won't mention it, and they deny it. They deny, yeah, like, everything about from 9/11 to the wars, and they're in complete denial of all the main major events that are going on in our world, and chemtrails are just part of that.
Yes. Even we have a weatherman here who's very, very famous. His name is Mark Madriga, and he's the local weatherman, you know, makes the jokes and everything. And he actually has called them waterless clouds, water vapor clouds with no water vapor. I forget how he put it, but
on the air he called them that.
Yes.
Well, and what was he saying they were?
Oh, he didn't. Of course, you know, he didn't say. He just said these are. Don't worry about rain or something like that. These clouds have no water vapor.
Boy, it would be nice if they added water to it. At least we'd get some fresh water. Instead, it's all these neurotoxins.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
It's amazing. You just look like, what's wrong with a weatherman like that and the other weather stations, and how they can't mention it? Again, it's the same thing. And you see.
Well, I think they redefine words a lot.
Mm-hmm.
For example, a cure in cancer, I think, you know, means like you live more than a year, 2 years, and 9 months. But I think that's considered a cure in cancer, and so maybe a meteorologist is not really a meteorologist when it comes to when you're a meteorologist on TV. Maybe it's a meteorologist with a R with a circle, you know, beside the word. So
yeah,
they can claim that they're meteorologists. At the same time, they can claim they're not really meteorologists. Sort of like BC hothouse tomatoes are grown in California. Sort of like that. And if you grow tomatoes in a hothouse in BC, you can't call them BC hothouse tomatoes because that name is registered.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah. So one of the things you talked about is this Xander Cam and his letter. Van der Zam?
Yeah.
What did he...
Might as well get his name right now that he's saying it.
Didn't he send his letter out to all the mayors in the province?
Isn't that something? I'll pass you back to Afsana because she knows what the letter says. Isn't that something? Yeah. Hang on.
Yeah.
Well, I don't. Unfortunately, I don't have a copy of the letter with me. But you know, the listeners can go on to CanadaSkyWatch.com, and there's a link right there. It'll take you to the letter. We're going to do a follow-up. He sent it to politicians all across Canada. And I also have the names of the politicians that he sent it to. So after this global march, we're going to get our members, and we're going to start emailing and contacting these politicians and saying, okay, well, you've had about 2 or 3 weeks now to review the letter. What do you think?
Yeah.
You know, and the letter really, it just talks about chemtrails or geoengineering, and it doesn't say any, it doesn't sort of it's not like it's putting out any concrete. It's very suggestive letter, and at the very end is just a simple request. If there's any validity to these claims that people are making, we should know about them. So if there's anything that we should know about, please make it public. And that was that's basically at the very bottom the gist of it, which is he just makes a plea. He says if there's anything that we ought to know, you've got to make that public. And, of course, he slid in the whole fact that, listen, you know, we've just been notified that we've been spied on, and that's not a big thing. We've just been notified, you know, about genetic modification. So, you know, don't request that we should just trust you, because we don't.
Yeah.
You know, there's no evidence for the public to trust the politicians.
Yeah, the smart meters.
Yeah. So yeah, and he talked about smart meters. So you know, it's a fair sized letter, and that's fantastic. We're really happy. And he was on Godard Radio out here in Vancouver, and they gave him an opportunity, and he went and talked on that. So I encourage people to go and listen to. You can get the link right off the front page. Go and listen to it, and also leave a message. So that other, you know, mainstream media outlets get the message. They get the message that this is how you get viewers online or listeners. You know, there's a big leak. You know, mainstream media's got a big leak because they just are losing readership and listeners and so on and so forth. So we've got to give them a way to acquire those listeners back, to bring them back again.
Yeah, I'm not sure they would want to. I think they would just continue on with what they're doing because I'm sure there's pressure on them to maintain the deceits.
Yeah, but, I mean, you know, let's take a look at Scott Stevens. He was a weatherman, and we'll take him at his word. He said for 5 years he knew about chemtrails. He saw them. But it took 5 years for it to sink in that this was toxic, that this was dangerous.
Yeah.
You know? Let's take him at his word. So it's, you know, and these people go to school and they've, you know, been taught and they've, you know, got to, you know, live in their box. So you've got to give them a little bit longer for them to be able to break out of that box. So, and he said it took him 5 years, and, you know, and he says, look, you know, it seems longish, but that's how it happened for me. So, you know, so there's hope. And as I see it, there could be a watershed moment. There could be a situation where it's already in people's minds. People already know it. There's a lot of people talking about it. So it's, you know, when it happens, it just turns over. All of a sudden, the government's got big problems on their hands because people have just been bottling up inside, you know? A lot of people in key positions are going to come forward because it's just going to sink in that this is dangerous. You know, these people aren't kooks. These people are very concerned. And that's what we've got to do something about it.
Yeah, it's like that video I did where I took the pictures of chemtrails in Ottawa. And here's the nation's capital, and you just see people being sprayed with chemtrails all over the city. Like, holy smokes, what's wrong with you people?
That makes me feel a little bit better, but not much.
Say again?
That makes me feel a little bit better, but not very much.
Yeah, no, it's terrible, and nothing's done about it. And obviously the control of it has to go above local and federal politicians. I mean, I think that I don't understand how it's all done. I mean, obviously it's done with the Air Force is aware of it. They have to be. They can't fly their fighters around without noticing the chemtrails, which are all over the sky. Like where's the military? Where, you know, why have they betrayed Canadian people?
Mm-hmm.
And the same in other countries.
You got to understand the mindset of these people. They don't get to where they are because they're mavericks. They don't get to where they are because they, you know, think for themselves. They get there because they obey. They, you know, can think along lines that that have been taught to them. You know, so you just got to give a little bit longer, and they'll get it. You know, after all, they're humans. They're just a different kind of human.
Yeah, obviously a very different kind.
But don't
I can't imagine these people who are spraying these chemtrails on people. What do they think they're doing? Like, can
they
not find another job? Or, sorry?
They think they're probably doing something good. They've been brainwashed. They've been told that, look, the world is in peril. The sun is going to blow up and scorch everything. So we're doing humanity a good thing. You know, we're doing something good for the earth. And again, you don't get up into the ranks of that because you think for yourself. You know, so, you just gotta, some of them might be evil, but a lot of them are just people who can go and have a nice, secure job, and they obey, and they follow the rules, and they don't ask questions, and that's how they get to do, you know, what they do. So a lot of them probably think they're doing great. They're doing something good. And they're not evil people. They're just stupid.
Yeah, I mean, I see them as evil myself, but I mean, it's because I don't believe that they can be spraying these toxins on people without realizing what they're doing. I can't believe that gap in their lack of knowledge of what they're doing. I mean, they know they're putting these aluminum and barium and strontium and viral matter all in these chemtrails and spraying them over hundreds of thousands of people.
Well, I've met two people involved personally in the chem spraying over the years. One guy who was recently out of the army who said that he used to be part of a detail at the airport on Comox or something, that they fueled up the tankers. They put the fuel, whatever they were putting inside in the tanker. And he pointed out, which is obvious, that what he does is he goes and takes the pipe over there and screws the pipe onto the nozzle. And then, you know, and then they turn a lever or whatever, and they don't know what they're putting in the tankers. And another guy I met who took exception to my 9/11 was inside job bumper sticker, and he thought I was being unnecessarily pessimistic about the government. And I asked him what he did, and he said he was a pilot, a pilot for the Navy, and he was American, and he was living up here in BC, and that's what he did. He was a pilot, and I strongly suspected that he, from what he said, because I asked him, "What do you do? What do? You fly around. What do you look for?" And he said he just flew off the coast. He flew missions up and down off the coast. And I deduced from I might not be correct that he was a chemtrail pilot, but his basic argument when I mentioned the chemtrails, he got really upset and started pointing his finger. Do you really believe that the government would do that? And he, you know, obviously he couldn't believe that the government would allow that to happen, or that people would do that. He obviously could not believe that. At the
or
same
that was
he
his
couldn't
excuse.
Believe.
Like,
well,
like,
what was his excuse? I don't know, but he certainly, he probably would have been appalled if he knew what he's doing. But why doesn't he know? Well, that's a tough, these are tough questions, aren't they?
Yeah.
Tough questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where do you think the decisions are being made by those people who decide that this is a good adventure to reduce the population? Who do you think decides this? Do you think it's done in the? You don't think it's in the government? Do you think it's in these corporate elites? What do you think is behind it all?
Well, it's definitely some kind of top-down rule thing. I mean, the fact that somebody would have, you know, there's one operation going on in almost every country in the world. It's not a bunch of different people doing different things coincidentally or anything like that. This is obviously somebody who has a lot of control. There's not more than room for more than one entity like that in the world, I wouldn't think.
No.
I don't see how you could have one entity spraying everybody and the other one running around putting fluoride in the water. I mean, you'd think they'd get together somewhere, right?
Yeah, they have to.
I think that's where they are, and I don't know who it is. I think, you know, I really don't know. I think maybe you have to look into religious texts to get near the answers, but
I
might be wrong about that.
The Church of Satan.
Well, yes, the Church of Satan. There you go.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even fathom why, how that would be and why, and I can't even fathom it. Of course, I might just be saying that.
I mean, I think.
But
it's
I'm not. I'm not just saying that.
I think it's the same people who were behind 9/11, and
oh, absolutely.
You know,
yeah.
It's the same elite, banking, corporate elites who somehow are making monies off this, and they're spreading illnesses. Like, I mean, most countries in most places across Canada have had announcements of how there's going to be an increase in Alzheimer's. I noticed that in the local paper. And there's going to be an increase in Alzheimer's. But they don't tell you that everybody's being sprayed with nanoparticulate aluminum.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't want to tell you that.
Yeah. And it defies imagination that the editor of the newspaper, who lives in the city that the newspaper is being printed, he lives in the city. I mean, it's obviously, or is it obvious? Is it possible that he doesn't know about the chemtrails? And yet, you know, like, so where does he get this order from? Where do the people live that put out these orders? Do they, you know, they're spraying almost the whole world?
Yes, it really makes you wonder, like, how they deal with it themselves.
Yeah, don't they see any value in going to the beach on a nice day or something? Don't they see any value in that? Or hanging out in the park? Don't they see any value in that? It defies comprehension, doesn't it? So, I mean, and it defies comprehension that anybody would do this knowingly, but yet it's happening.
Yeah, and it's being done all around the world, which is quite unbelievable.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, there's obviously some hidden cabal who controls our government, and the politicians are like their puppets, and they control who gets into office, and yet they're hidden themselves.
Yes. They're hidden, and just higher than that are people that say things like, well, I signed an agreement. I had to keep my end of my agreement. I signed an agreement saying that I would keep my mouth shut, saying that I would further this objective, and so then I had to do that. You know, you find people like that.
Yeah.
That's like a
famous Nazi argument, isn't it? Oh, I was just following orders, and that's what I was ordered to do, so that's what I did.
And will Harper be able to say that? Will Stephen Harper be able to say that when he, you know, I mean, here he is, like, you know, authorizing, okaying genetically modified foods. You know, how many has he done in his term? I mean, flax, corn, soy, maybe some of it was before him. I don't know. Maybe some of it was Krachian. You know, I don't know. But now alfalfa. So that means the end of organic farming. Now Harper's just decided, and you know, it defies belief. Like, why would he do that to his own country? Aren't his kids going to live here? Doesn't he? You know, I wonder if Harper actually goes to the store and buys, like, sweet corn, genetically modified corn. I wonder if he buys that for his kids. I wonder if he does. Does he?
Yeah.
Do you think he does? You live in Ottawa. Why don't you ask him?
Well, I'm south of Ottawa, so I stay far away from Ottawa. Yeah, and the whole thing is so puzzling, and how our politicians, they don't represent the people at all. And you take to them legitimate concerns about chemtrails, and they all just you know, repeat these denials, that, like what you repeated, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I just think that, okay, first of all, the corporate elite is not spraying. Their minions are spraying. So we just have to get to the minions and tell them what they're doing and make them aware of the consequences of their actions. So time is running out because we've got numbers on our side, and they don't. We have got the internet. We've got means of being able to communicate with each other, and time is running out for them. And there's grave consequences if they keep on doing this, right? You know, I, for one, well, I'm not satisfied to go and get the guy who flew the plane. I want to go get the guy who gave the orders.
Yeah.
Because the guy who flew the plane, I know his mentality. His mentality is he was just following orders.
Yeah.
You know? So they basically, it's like gang members, you know, you go and after the people who are susceptible, who will come into you. So that's not the guy I'm going to be really going after. I'm going to go after the person who knew what they were doing, who knew, deliberately decided to put this program into play.
Yeah.
I mean, time is running out for these people.
All these people need to be charged with treason for what they've done. I mean,
they might very well be, you know, they might very well be. I mean, we just need a couple of lawyers. And again, we're talking about a psychology that we have to overcome. We got to understand that. If we keep thinking it's evil and this, that, and the other, I can't fight Satan. I really can't. I can't fight aliens. I can't fight Satan because I don't understand that psychology. I don't know. I will just, like, you know, run away. But I can't reason with that. However, I can fight somebody who has a psychology where they just need to fit in, where they need a secure job, where they need to follow orders. I can understand that. There are people around me. I see that. And you just have to, you know, apply them with information and just be consistent. And over time, you know, they will come around because logic and truth is on our side. And I saw that this year I saw that with Randazan, for God's sakes. He didn't, you know, it took a while until and I guess because he's a farmer, he had to pay attention. He actually saw things, you know, he saw the consequences to his gardens probably.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
And I think that's a better way of looking at it. It's a far more, you know, positive way of looking at it, and it's something that I can actually do something. I can help to educate people. I can't fight Satan.
Do you see the UN and Agenda 21 as behind much of this?
Well,
like
these are, you know, it's part of, chemtrails is part of Agenda 21. And it's a part of, you know, they want to save the world. They feel like they're doing something great. And we just have to set them straight that they're not. You can't control the mass of people by, you know, some of the things that they want to do is actually good. We want to curb people's habits in terms of how much they, consume and this, that. But I certainly don't like the way they're going about it. Some of the things I can agree with, we have to change our habits, and especially in North America. But definitely we can't do it surreptitiously. We have to bring people around right up front, be truthful with them, you know? So, there's the corporate elitists and bankers behind us, the same people who like to start these wars, but they don't fight them. And we just have to educate the people. You know, when people are made aware of what's going on, then they're going to, the rest will take care of itself.
Yeah.
People will do the right thing just as long as they're made aware of the truth and the consequences of those, right?
Yeah. I mean, I wish I knew that was
so
the case.
And the Agora is so important.
Sorry, Tony?
Sorry, that's, I was just saying, that's why this radio station is so important. And why the Agora newspaper also is so important?
Yeah,
because it's the only, it's really a, you know, getting, it's try, it's one of the very loud voices that we have. And so I want to thank you for all your work you've been doing in this radio station.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And yeah.
Well, we have so much more to do because the corporate media has such a mind control over people through the TV stations. It's almost impossible to get people to listen to internet and hear other radio shows.
Yeah, that's right.
Actually, I would beg to differ with you. We've got numbers on our side. Every day, more and more people are coming online. There is going to be billions of people. 2 more billion people are going to come online, and they're going to be looking at this information. We have equal footing with anybody else who's got a website out there. And we just have to work smarter, and there's more of us working smarter. We've got a beat. You know, it's not a piece of cake, but if we want it badly, we can turn this boat around, definitely.
Yeah, I hope so.
Absolutely. I mean, like I've said it to you before, you know, they call my house, do you want the newspaper? No, I don't. Why don't you want it? Because it's all full of lies and it's not helpful information. Leave me alone. You know?
Yeah, I've been called the same way through Bell, who wanted to sell me internet, and I keep telling them, I say, look, I know your news corporations are all completely criminal. I don't want your newspaper. I think finally they are going to let me off, maybe,
yeah,
and just accept that.
Yeah, and we've got tons of other people from other countries, Africa and Asia. All these people are coming online, people to influence, people to be made aware of the truth. You know, critical mass. Time is running out for these guys. That's how I like to look at it. Anyway, yeah.
Well,
you know, and there's
so.
Lots of pitfalls.
So.
We have to be careful. They do target. I mean, but we've become smarter all these years. There's a letter that went out to Max Bliss. We should go into that. Is some anonymous source who claimed to be an insider, who claimed to be fueling and know how the whole fuel got into the airplanes, and you know, and he sent this to Max Bliss. Max Bliss is a guy out of UK, and he, as soon as he found out about chemtrails, he dedicated his whole life, and he got a huge following in the last year.
Oh, in the UK.
In the UK. And so Max Bliss got this letter and he published it. And he said, you know, everybody, look, this is how it's going on. It's an extended letter. I'll put a link up to it on my website, but you can get it. It's on the internet. You can just say insider information, chemtrail whistleblower, and I'll take you to it.
What's your website again?
CanadaSkyWatch.com. And this letter details exactly how the additives are added into the airplane without anybody knowing. And it reads really well. It reads, looks like the guy knows what he's talking about and so on. So Max Bliss put that on his website, and he was really happy, and he said, you know, what do you guys think of this? And I went to another site called Aircrap, and at the bottom of it, somebody wrote down that, look, look at the message, look at this letter. The first letter of each sentence, if we just take the first letter of each sentence, there's a hidden message, and here's the hidden message. This is a fraud. You are so gullible. This message is a con. There are no chemtrails. How easy is it to fool you? Naive, gullible, credulous, unskeptical. This is the hidden message in this anonymous letter that was made all the rounds on the chemtrail sites, right? And so somebody came on board and said, look, you, this is, this, you know, we can't sort of put this letter out there anymore because they're going to look like fools. You know, and the chances of the first letter of each sentence of a letter, you know, this notice adding up to an actual, this is a fraud, you are so gullible, this is, it's a 1 to billions, right?
Yeah.
And so somebody said, well, it's just some prank in their basement. I beg to differ. This is high level. This is top tier. This is like they went after a certain guy who had built a big following, and they sent him a message and said, I'm an insider. Check this out. And the guy went, oh, this is great, and posted it. And then they'll come around and release the information that, look, haha, this is a con, right? So what do you guys know? You're so gullible. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So for me, this is fantastic when they do this. That means that we're having an effect. If they're going through the trouble of doing this, that means we're having an effect, you know? And this is the best that they can come up with. Is, you know, some anonymous letter that, you know, says this is a fraud. Aha, you know, we'll get over that. That's no big deal. That's not going to bring down the movement.
No. No.
But it definitely it tells us that we are having an effect.
Well, one of the things you mentioned was the gay pride parade. And you asked me about that, if I'd seen any of the information about that. What was that about? I wasn't exactly sure what you were suggesting.
Well, you know, it happens every year. It happened also with 9/11 Truth. Some members have a problem with our movement or whatever the cause our movement is, us participating in the gay pride parade, in the pride parade. They feel that this, you know, I guess they themselves, they're usually Bible thumpers, and they have a problem. They say we should not associate ourselves with this. And they go on to it, sexual perversion, this, and you bring down the movement and so on. So it happens.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
and,
I see. That's
what happened.
Yeah, because
yeah.
You went out and you were advertising the chemtrail day.
Yeah, well, I wasn't advertising. We actually... you know, crashed it. I was so scared. Me and this, there was four of us, and two of the people decided that they backed out. They were, because we were just going to crash the parade. We went there with our big banners all rolled up, and we're going down the street looking for an opening. And it was, you know, there was like, apparently there were 600,000 people. It just keeps growing every year.
Finally
there was an opening. And I just told the guy, who, you know, stayed with me, he said, let's go in now. And we went in, and we unfurled our banners, and I thought, well, we better fit in. So we started dancing. He started dancing, and I started dancing and passing out flyers. And I learned soon enough that, look, if I do some tricks, they're more likely to take the flyers from me, right? Everything's all happy-lappy, right? But we've got the signs that say, you know, chemtrails are domestic terrorism, right? So they're kind of, you know, after they've seen these big flamboyant costumes, all of a sudden these two people coming in with these, banners that talk about the political issue. So I started dancing and doing big, you know, dance moves and wiggling my hips and gyrating. And then they really liked it, and so they were more likely to take my flyers.
Oh, yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I just wasn't sure what... I understand now what you attempted to do in that. That's good.
Yeah, it was good. I'm glad I did it. There was lots of little kids there coming up to me. They would rush up to me and say, hey, can I have a flyer too? And I'd say, of course you can. And so, you know, this is, you know, this is the first step in hopefully it's a short, you know, journey, but it might be a long journey in terms of trying to turn this boat around. So it's always good that, you know, it's already in the kids' minds, right? That's my biggest, you know, that's the sadness that I have, is there's a lot of kids who are looking up into the sky and think this is normal.
Yeah.
You know, and they're watching their movies, and they put chemtrails in the movies, you know? Like, there's a movie that's out with Johnny Depp, and I saw the promo movie, the promo poster for this, and it's all chemtrails in the back.
Wow.
Yeah. And so they're just, it's subliminal, you know, they just put in it. You can't miss it. There's not a blue in the sky. They're pictured against the sky, but the sky is not blue. It's got all these cobwebby stuff in there, you know, it's all hazy cobwebby. So they're instilling it, and I just thought, you know, you need to get the kids in there to understand that this is not, you know, real clouds. This is not what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah. Yeah, it's abnormal. Yeah, it's funny. I saw a shot on the TV the other week where it showed a chemtrail plane with huge chemtrails passing out behind it, and they just showed it on TV. They didn't comment on it, but it was just made to look, well, that's natural that your airplanes secrete these particles. It was odd how they did that.
Exactly, exactly. I see a lot of shots now with planes always leaving a trail. You never had that before. And especially when people are so sensitive to pollution. You know what I'm saying? You'd never show that. And airlines would never want to associate themselves with some big mass of whatever is coming out of the tail end of their airplane.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, people, you know, are sensitive to that. Like, hey, what the hell is... But they'll do it anyway. So they're crossing a line here. There's, like, you want to normalize these chemtrails, but at the same time, there's a lot of people irritating, going, well, should we have so much stuff coming out of the tail end of an airplane? You know?
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. I lived across from the Ottawa airport for a few years, and watching regular planes, none of them have any exhaust. You can't see anything. And then you see chemtrails, and it's so obvious. It amazes me how people can't look up and see the sky. That amazes me. Why doesn't anybody look up and see what's going on? And they don't.
Yeah, it's unfortunately, it's indication of a disconnect with nature. You know?
Yeah.
It's a disconnect, and, you know, we'll deal with it. People will have to be made aware. You know, that's what we do. We're going to have to make people look up, you know, at least pay attention. And then they'll start asking the questions, you know. And just give them logical things like, you know, are you okay with the plane spraying that much? Would you tolerate if a car went by you with that much stuff coming out of the tail end?
Yeah, really. You'd call the police immediately if they did that.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Okay, so another thing I wanted for us to pass on to a little bit is some of what you see as changes in the chemtrails. Like, it seems to me now that, I always thought the main cause of chemtrail was depopulation. But now it seems also that it's related to extreme weathers, increasing illnesses, stoppage of the sun from hitting the earth and warming gardens and cultivating gardens. And then there's the nanotechnology that's being introduced in chemtrails. Maybe we can go into some of these things, what you see is different in what's being done with the chemtrails.
There's a couple of applications. I think one of the major ones is military application. You have what is called barium plasma antennas, and those are the thick, thick, shiny, almost snaky things that go from end to end. And they're usually not straight. And these facilitate over-the-horizon radio communications in case a satellite gets... in case of a war, you can still send messages over the horizon if your satellites go out. So that's one. There's military applications. Another one, but instead of sending bombs, what you can do is send typhoons and send droughts.
Yeah.
You know, I think those are the major ones. And the other one is an actual control of the weather. It's a consequence that people die and the environment dies, but at least they have control. I mean, that's probably what's going on in their head, you know. It's a consequence of what they're doing, which is trying to get control of the weather and have the next generation war machine. People will get killed and the environment will be damaged. They might not go in that with that specific you know, intent, but that it's a consequence. And then, and you know, like that lady said, Madeleine Albright, you know, it's collateral that we can tolerate. human collateral that we can tolerate.
Yeah, the 500,000 kids who died of starvation in Iraq, was that her?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it was something like that.
Yeah, and then the third one is controlling the weather for material gain, for actual purposes of, like, there was a case in Oregon, Washington, the farmers had to take the state to court because they said that they were actually flying these planes and setting these chemicals in the air that they could make it rain on one farm and not rain on another farm. So it's a matter of being able to control how, and sell the water, sell the weather, basically. You want sunshine, we can give you sunshine, but there's a price. You want rain, we can give you rain, but there's a price.
Yeah.
So economics. So I think, you know, maybe maybe there'll be some people who want to kill, but I don't think that's just a byproduct. That's just something happens because of the way that what they're doing.
And another thing that I noticed was these new nanoparticles being put in chemtrails. And I saw one video where it showed that these nanoparticles actually get inhaled through your nose and actually enter the blood through your nose. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can't even protect yourself against these nanoparticles.
No, you're right.
It was on one of the videos that you posted on your site.
Yeah, I think it's Sophia Smallstorm. She goes into that. Nanoparticles, particulates, and they're robotic, so smart dust, I think it's called. There's another military application, and it's called battlefield imaging. And, you know, the guy tried to explain it, and the best analogy that I could come up with is, you know, when you have not facts, but when you want to copy something, you take a picture of it, and there's I forgot the name of it. A light slowly moves across the picture, and then you've got a copy of the picture. I forgot what that's called. But the scanner, a scan.
Yeah.
A scanner, right? Okay, it's the same thing. So what happens is they'll lay one of these things down, and this will be just like the light in the scanner that goes across the picture, and then it bounces off the picture, and then that's how you can get a copy of the picture, a high-resolution copy. I believe that's how they will, image the battlefield. They'll send one of these long lines up and send some sort of pulse or some sort of radio pulse through it, and these are all actually cameras. They're like little tiny, cameras of some sort, or they're tiny mirrors, and they will actually image the terrain that they're flying over. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so then now you can, and then they'll send the signal back to a computer, back to, reception area, and then it collates all the data through a computer, and then you've got an image of the battlefield. So you don't have to send in planes. You just send in one of these long lines that moves across the landscape and then is able to image, and you can get high-quality images of the terrain.
Holy cow. Well, all those battles going on in Canada at the moment, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. There's no battles going on here, but okay. It's conceivable.
Well, that's what one of the military guys was talking about. It was called, they used it for battlefield imaging. And then, of course, radio communications and over-the-horizon radio communications. And also, the stock market is involved in this. They can bet on weathers, and it was Evelyn de Rothschild. He's got actually a website called My Weather, and you can go and bet on the weather.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, the stock market, for the most part, is betting anyway. It's casino. So, yeah, you can bet on the weather.
Yeah.
And shorts, whatever it's called, futures and shorts and this, that, and the other. So you can bet on a particular outcome. And if most of the people don't know that you're actually controlling it, then, you know, they're gonna, you can bet against them and you can make a lot of money, because there's some people who are not going to know. They're just going to go, oh, great, I can bet on the weather. You know, but
yeah,
they're not going to go know that, hey, there's some people who can actually control the weather.
Yeah. I mean, it seems to me that's being done more and more, the controlling of the weather. And here, like this summer, we've had some days where the sky is just like a filthy, dirty gray. And it's like there's no sun getting through. I know my garden, like the tomatoes are hardly grown at all.
Yeah.
I've noticed that from a number of people in Ontario. Their gardens aren't growing properly.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed that in BC? Do you notice damages to the gardens and the?
Oh yeah, I mean, I remember 3-4 years ago there was pretty good growing period, and you just don't get that these days. I mean, look, we only got good weather in July, and that was it. We're better for that in Vancouver. You know, I know it rains a lot, but. You know, not, you, but we still get days where it's sunny, and we just don't get that.
Yeah.
Yes, and there's all these little spots you can see. I hardly ever see any robust, perfectly pristine vegetation. You just, they're all, there's always these brown spots on their leaves and things like that.
Yeah. Yeah, you see that a lot in the States, where they say a lot of the deciduous forests are dying.
Mm-hmm.
And there's brown spots on the trees, and
mm-hmm. Yeah, but you know, it's a, you know, these, like, if they don't spray for a couple of days, you can see it clears up.
Yeah.
You know, so they've got a big battle ahead of them. You know, they're going to have to do this perpetually. I mean, and it's just, they're not. It's just logistically, it is impossible for them to carry on this thing all the time. A couple of days, they don't spray, everything, you know, it's a blue, things go back to, they don't go back to normal, but they start on the route to normal, you know? So, you know, it's just a crazy, crazy plan to think that you can control the weather by just spitting out all this. Like they say, air pollution is not the solution, you know? It's just crazy. In fact, we'll just have to take them to court for being so stupid. You know, well, you know, just a crazy idea, you know. It's like, what the hell are you thinking? You know, you want to control the weather by air pollution? This is crazy. That's derelict and negligent.
Well, I think that storm in Calgary was, watching the weather channels, they said it was centered over Colorado. Did you hear about that?
Yes, I did. Go ahead.
And so I think they can go a long way to controlling the weather. I think they can. They even said if they with the HAARP system, if you shoot the waves up into the sky someplace and they bounce down, and somehow you can actually heat up the air over top of a hurricane and make the hurricane stronger, and
yeah.
Then by moving the hot spot, the hurricane, you know, will kind of follow it. Will follow it because you're heating where you're heating up the air. That's what's making the hurricane.
Yeah.
So I think they can go a long way to controlling the weather. And also, a long time ago, they probably could have gone a long way just by seeding clouds on the western side of the Rockies and not allowing it to. So not allowing the moisture, same amount of moisture to get over to the eastern side of the Rockies, I think that's not even all that far-fetched, even from now, just what you see. So
yeah.
So I'm not so confident that they can't control the weather. Anyway,
yeah, no,
back to you.
I think they do a lot. That's... I think they do a lot, even though here this last week we had a very clear day. I can't believe how there were no chemtrails this last week. And I've been watching the sky. I mean, I always watch the sky, so I always see when there are chemtrails in the day. But this last week has been perfectly clear here.
And it won't take them that long to destroy the most of the life in an area, the human life anyway, because we're so far up the food chain and unable to, you know, scavenge for ourselves, but not very easily.
Yeah.
And, I could see that they could cause major upheavals in the societies at any time, even right now. In fact, I was just saying the other day to somebody that I believe that they have the wherewithal right now to basically flood Winnipeg, and along with the media that we people we wouldn't even know, even if you had relatives in Winnipeg, you might not even have any idea that is happening in Winnipeg if that's on the agenda.
Yeah.
You know, just you'd phone and, oh, the phones are down or whatever. I mean, we'd believe that, right? So, I guess if you see the battle too big, then it makes you want to not fight it, but I think we have no choice but to try to shine a light on this problem and try to make it go away, like this, by shining a light on it.
Yeah.
And that's really all we can do. We can't do anything else. We can't do anything physically. We have to just, like Afsana says, we just have to get all these people that are actually, being used to carry out these agendas, starting at the bottom from the guy who's, gassing up the plane or whatever, and just try to make him understand what he's doing, and that's all we can do, I think, Christopher.
Yeah, yeah.
And write books and have radio shows and what have you.
Really. Well, I did notice that you were talking about the Calgary floods. I also noticed that how they think the weather was brought up from Colorado, I think it was, and it seemed to me, looking at the before in Calgary, I saw major funnel clouds around the city. Did you see that at all? Where they were, it was like what they had at Fukushima. Oh no, I forget where it was. Huge funnel clouds that went across the city. Did you ever see pictures of that?
Yes, I did see an image of that. I didn't know what to think of that particular image, but what I did see. I didn't know what to think about it. I mean, I did see it. But another striking thing about the Calgary thing was that for several, or at least a couple of days before the disaster, the clouds were blowing towards the mountains.
Wow!
And that never happens as far as I spend a lot of time on the prairies, and as far as I understand, the weather. Pretty much, the weather, no, not even pretty much, always comes from the west, maybe from the northwest, maybe from the southwest, but always from the west.
Yeah.
Never have I ever seen, and I don't think it happens, that the clouds blow towards the mountains. And I think somehow they used that storm in Colorado to create a huge tornado type arrangement. And it reached as far up there, and because that's what happened, all the warm air melted all the snow and rained. It rained high up in the mountains with the snow, and melted all the snow right away. And so probably they do have a drought there this year. Probably, I don't know though. There we have it. I mean, They're not. If they're having a drought in the prairies, they're not plastering it all over the news, because I would have heard it then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
well,
that's what I think about that.
That's my goodness. I don't know. I'm so overwhelmed with it all in my life. It's like I've lost the will or something to fight it anymore. Since I came back from BC last year, I kind of lost my ability to articulate and speak properly. When I came back, I couldn't even remember my computer passwords, and I couldn't remember what cigarettes I bought. I couldn't remember things like that. I've had a mental block a bit. I think it's coming back a little bit now, but the last year on the show, it's like I've been unable to do it.
Whoa, do you think that has something to do with the air out here?
I don't
that would explain
so.
A lot
I don't
of things.
Think so. No, I don't know what it was. I wondered if I had an aphasia where you lose certain speech impediments and that. I don't really understand what went on, but somehow it's really affected me. And this last show, I've had the co-host has been handling most of them. Dee, who's very good. Yeah. Yeah, so I'm still struggling with that a little bit. I noticed when I thought back on my introduction, I kind of went all over the place. I'm not sure what I was trying to get at. But anyway.
Well, what are you doing to mitigate the causes? What are you doing to detoxify yourself? If it's heavy metals, you could use colloidal silver. You can use parsley, oil of oregano. You can just eat lots of cilantro, eat them raw. These things actually pull the heavy metals to them. That's called chelation or chelation.
Yeah,
if you go to my website, I'm starting to build a health tip. So there's a lot of people, a lot of doctors who know about this and herbalists. And they've been putting up videos, and I was like astounded. It's like, oh my God, I can't believe this. And they put their remedies up. So I've just been, I go, when I get a chance, I go through them and I post them. So there's all sorts of remedies that for getting heavy metals out of your body. You can have also take Epsom salts. If you soak into an Epsom salt and build up your magnesium levels, that's going to pull a lot of toxins out of your body.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Anyway, there's tons of, putting essence or essential oils in a humidifier, and it goes up into your nasal, and it actually helps to get the heavy metals out of your system.
Yeah.
Well, that's great.
Afsana's
putting that on her website, links to things like that. I just wanted to add that the Agora has the Agora newspaper focuses a lot on that too, on different products out there to help you detox these heavy metals, which we're all full of by now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Perhaps one of the things you could maybe try and help us get the Agora out to the Ottawa Valley area there too, and then you could have us. You know, that this, since it's right up what we're all talking about. Anyway, thanks.
I don't think I'd have the energy to do it, to be honest. But
okay, well, people can access the Agora magazine by going to newagora.ca. You can check out they update their website there, and you can check out the news, and also you can contact the people and they can send you stuff as well.
Yeah.
It's great articles in the Agora. They've been so helpful to us. They've always put up websites. They put up posters or banners and ads for our stuff that is coming up. And there it is, right there. I think it is. We're just going to find the correct email, the correct website address. But I think it's the newagora.ca.
I thought you were talking about the ad.
The Agora?
.ca. And it's great. And it's a cool website. It gives you the feel of a magazine. And you can subscribe, and they will send it to you to your email. And maybe you would even want to have go back to that old experience of an actual newspaper and read it. And this is a newspaper worth reading.
Yeah,
really. It is. You love it. Great writing in here and great pictures. They're actually a collector's item.
The agoranational.ca.
No, that's actually a news an email site.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah.
Well.
It's great. As far as about. And the great pictures, and I would recommend anybody to going, you know, if you're turned off by regular news outlets.
NewAgora.ca.
Yeah, NewAgora.ca.
Yeah.
You know, this is not traditional lamestream media lies. This is this is the truth. This is some good writing in there, and they address all sorts of topics that is going to be of interest to your listeners, right? They've got health, and they've got you know, they've got issues on cannabis and permaculture and health and consciousness, all sorts of stuff.
Not to mention Will Thomas's new article, brilliant article about chemtrails.
Yes, loads of information.
Yeah. Okay.
He, you know, Will Thomas's article on this month about chemtrails, and he's you know, he's an award-winning investigator. So you know, it's chock full of information and leads. And you'd be surprised. It's not just schmooze like us that are talking about chemtrails. We're talking about scientists.
Yeah.
We're talking about university. That you, if you read it, Christopher, I think that you would be really energized. You would say, my goodness, there's hope. There's all sorts of people who are chiming in on geoengineering. We just don't hear it because you know, they're spread all over the world. You know, so yeah, I definitely. Get the New Agora dots to go to newagora.ca.
Yeah. Okay.
And check out this month's issue and subscribe and get it every month. And maybe you even want to have it sent to you as well. It's great.
Is it once a month?
Yep. Yeah. It comes out every month like clockwork, usually right on time. And if you want to have it subscribed to it in Ottawa or anywhere else in Canada, it's or even North America, I think it's $400. It's $40 a year.
Wow!
So you'd get it's about $350 an issue, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, it's excellent.
And well worth it.
Yeah.
If you like to read hard copy print.
Yeah, and it's nicely colored in that. Like I've seen the Agora previously. I've seen the pictures of it.
Yeah, and tons of good information about the detoxing, because this is something that we're all going to have to get interested in.
Yeah,
about
for
the detoxing
sure.
of the poisons that are going into our foods and into our water and everything else. You can't get away from this this spray anymore, because it doesn't matter. You can go live out in the middle of the woods and you're going to get sprayed out there. You're going to go live northern Manitoba, where there's mosquitoes coming out the yin yang. There should be some benefit to living there, but you know, there's not. You won't get away from the chemtrails.
Yeah, you think it's done even in wilder places like that, in northern Manitoba?
Oh, I know it is.
Oh.
I know it is.
Oh.
Because I've been there and see it. You could just have to see it on TV. They show you things like that.
I always thought they focused more on the big cities like Toronto, Vancouver, Edmonton, Winnipeg, you know.
I don't know what your experience was, but when I drove across Canada in 2008 on the 9/11 truth bus thing, they were spraying the whole sky across the prairies. Every day in the morning they would start spraying, and by 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the whole sky was white every single day there and back.
Wow!
Like I don't know if that was just 2008, you know, month of August, but that's because that's when it was. But that's what they were doing then, and I would go nuts stopping at these little truck stops and stuff, and trying to tell people, you know, geez, can't you see that? There's nothing else to see here. All you can see is the horizon and the sky.
Yeah,
how can you not see that shit? All you do is get up and look at the sky and see what the weather is. It going to rain or not? And you see, and they do that right in front of you, and you can't fucking see it. What the hell is going on? You know,
yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing. Yeah, how people don't look up at the sky. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Well, don't look up. Yeah, and we've all had conversations, lots of conversations like that, haven't we? Everybody who's listening to this radio station has had conversations like that unless they're working, they're getting paid to listen to this radio station.
Yeah. And then you wonder about, like, who are these people who, like, listen to this show and, you know, I guess we get red-listed or black-listed or something. Like, who are these people? Are they not being sprayed with chemtrails? And of course they are.
Of course they are.
Yeah, of course
yeah.
they are. Why don't they object to it, you know? Because it's not just them. It's their families. It's their relatives. It's everybody they know in their life is getting these toxins poured into them. It makes me wonder. I can't believe the insanity of people on Earth at this time. It's just terrible.
And I remember once when Stephen Harper came here, and we all went and protested, and they sprayed. That day sprayed. This was in Burnaby. He was in Burnaby before the last election or one before or something. And they sprayed that day. And so they spray him too. If that makes you feel any better, you've seen him spray him. You've seen him spray him. They spray Ottawa, right?
Yeah.
All
over Ottawa.
All over Ottawa.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that gives me a great idea for a sketch. I mean, how smart are these people, you know? It's like, you know what I'm saying? Do they deserve their jobs? I think that's hilarious.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, to do a comedy sketch, would you just put it right in their face? Look, you are being sprayed like a bug, and you go around thinking you're such hot material because you're the Prime Minister of Canada. Like, come on, give me a break. You're a well-paid bug.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
You get press conferences. So, we got to educate Stephen Harper. Apparently. Some of them, I think, you know, and like I said, they just don't know. They just don't know. They've been told, they've been threatened, or they've been told that this is a wonderful thing, and we just have to educate them. Yeah, I don't feel bad. You know, like they say, it's the darkest before the dawn. I think that we're with the technology the way it's going, we're just tending towards freedom. Even though it doesn't look like it, we're far more freer than people were 300 years ago. A lot more freer. So, you know, maybe this is the last hurrah for these people. we'll look back on this and think, just before we gained even more freedom than we'd ever had, these guys went around and, sprayed everything. But they were trying to drug us and poison us and all this stuff, but we overcame it. Because they have a lot less power, a lot less power. And of course, there's a lot more millionaires in the world today with their own agendas, capable of doing all sorts of things and putting things into motion. These guys have lost considerable amount of power from what they had 200-300 years ago.
Yeah, you think so?
Absolutely, absolutely. Look, it used to be that people would get burned for, if you said something against the church. You know, you couldn't say something against the king. And now you can go in and have comedy shows, make fun of the queen and make fun of the priests and everything.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, look at how far we've come in terms of being personal freedom, in terms of our personal expression. Look at that. This is the last hurrah for these people.
I hope so. I must say I'm more pessimistic, and I don't know where change will come from. But, I mean, we need people at higher levels to take part in what's happening. We need politicians, and we need, I took my chemtrail movie to the local town council and gave them all a copy of my two videos. And a year later, I've never heard a peep from anyone about it. You know, it's just everybody just dismisses it, or they just ignore it and turn a blind eye towards it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, don't let that get you down. You just move on and to the next person who's open to it,
Yeah.
right? I mean, there's tons of people who still are not on the internet, and you think they would be. You know, there was lots of people who didn't get the TV, and you think they would. So, you know, you just move on to the person who is open to the information.
Yeah.
And you don't sort of think about the people who are not open. You know, they, whatever, they're in their own, you know, they're at a time in their life where they are not open. So just let them be. And, you know, like I said, like 162 invites in Toronto, and yet 4 months ago you couldn't get anybody to go see a movie about chemtrails.
Yeah, and now, yeah, you're saying they already have a good response on Facebook. That's good.
Yeah, and just for Toronto, right?
Yeah.
So something happened.
Yeah. Are you aware of the Ottawa March at all?
Well, no, but I'm imagine that you're going to be a part of it.
Well, I'm not part of it. I mean, I live outside of Ottawa, but I would go into Ottawa for that day. If you had any contacts for that, I'd appreciate some notice on it.
Well, sure, I'll send you a link, but and you can go to their Facebook invite page and RSV if you got, or you know. Just to let them know, and there's a link there that shows you where they're meeting up, what time they're meeting up, and I'll send you that link.
Okay.
And anybody can, right, if you go to CanadaSkyWatch.com, the very first page is all about the upcoming event, and there's two links, and you go to those links, and those will show you the cities, and then there's the addresses for all the invite pages to the event for those particular cities.
Oh, I hadn't seen that. I'll have a look back at your page.
Yes, yes, yes. Do that. And you get involved, and, you know, go to it. You're going to be happy. There's going to be so many people there, like-minded people, and you won't feel alone.
Yeah, you know, I'm pretty alone where I am. Yeah.
You know, and it always feels better. It always feels better when you realize, hey, you know, there are people out there. In fact, in our group, you know, I know that for a fact that we've got a couple of local TV hosts. You know, a lot of people are a little timid right now. They don't know if they should come out and say this. Well, is their career going to get damaged or not? So as more and more people come forward, it's going to be... you know, it's going to be easier for people to come forward, for other people to come forward.
Yeah, it
right?
would. Yeah,
people aren't
going to
hesitate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was nice being in BC when I had you guys to hang around with. That was fun. Then I come back here and it's like everybody's dead almost, it seems.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Yeah, it's good being in a bigger city.
Actually, Vancouver is known, BC is known as the most political province in Canada, apparently.
Oh, the most political.
Yeah, there's got a lot of political hot spots. There's some guy who came to our group was telling us is that this is a lot of political agitation in this city.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
yeah, good.
Movement started in the city. Well, sure, this is where Pride Parade started. This is where, you know, cannabis started, that guy.
Yeah.
So if we get a nuclear bomb in our harbor, just know that it wasn't an accident.
Yeah.
What happened?
Okay.
So get involved, and I encourage all your listeners to go to. Well, you can go to the link. You can find out about the geoengineering event coming up. There's two links, and that'll lead you to the organizing website, the official website for this, the people who actually set this up. And they've got an event listing page, and you'll see all the cities listed. Every city has come on board and listed themselves. So it's just a matter of clicking onto your city. And you will be taken to an invite page, however that city set it up, right, whether it's on Facebook or Meetup or whatever. And then you sign in. And you just, you know, you show your support and find out where they're, you know, find out the information of where they're meeting up. It's going to be a Sunday, 2 p.m. They're not going to be able to ignore it, definitely. They will not be able to ignore this. I am so excited. Honestly, I'm very excited. We're going to be able to go through town with a whole bunch of people going to be my peeps and me. We're going to go down the city center right with our banners and our pots and pans and yelling and going, what the hell's going on? Wake up, people! You know? So... yeah,
okay,
it's great.
Go.
I've been waiting for this for a long time, Christopher. It is great.
Good.
From the person that I was like 3-4 years ago, and I was just crying, and I can't believe this, and I was so felt so betrayed, and I thought everybody was just, you know, trying to poison us, and everybody was in on it, you know. And people calling me crazy and whacked, and now it's just 4 years later, 3 years later, it's just it's a different story now.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, people are getting it more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and, you know, the world's big. We'll overcome this. You know, whatever damage is done, well, the Mother Nature heals itself and so does the body. We will overcome it. You know, and certainly the kids the next year, and guess, you know, the kids are on the internet, so this is, we just got to make our presence known on the internet, and they will get through to them.
Yeah.
You know, so there's a lot to look forward to.
Yeah, yeah, good. Okay, that's good. I'll try to be a bit more pessimistic or optimistic, rather.
Absolutely. I mean, it's just, you know, it doesn't pay to be a pessimist. I wouldn't want to go out. And plus, you know, it's unfortunate that, you know, that I had to go through this, but I found lots of good friends, lots of people. I know how to, you know, organize an event. I know how to organize against some issue that I have a problem with. You know, I can apply it the next time, you know, I'm irate at something that the government has done, the policy. I know how to go about making my voices heard. I can make, you know, and getting a rallying group around me. You know, these are all lessons learned for future things. I mean, it's not going to be hunky-dory 5 years from now if, you know, when we overcome chemtrails, there'll be some other problem, you know. And I have the tools, the wherewithal to be able to deal with that.
I mean, we have to get at the criminal undercutting of our government. I mean, we can't just allow all these things to be done. I mean, in my view, these people all need to be charged under the terrorist legislation at the top levels anyway. They really need to be brought to justice for what they've done to Canadians for the past 20 years, however long it's been.
You know, and I'm sure they're well aware of the fact that a lot of people feel just like you. I mean, it amazes me how when I was talking to a woman from Toronto, and she used the exact same words. These people need to be charged with some, you know, crimes, big crimes against humanity. It's like we're all using this, you know, the same words, and it will eventually gel. You know, to where there's going to be consequences for their actions, these people.
Yeah.
And it's not enough to go after their minions. For me, no. It's not enough for me to go after the minions. It's the masterminds.
Yeah.
Those are the people that have got to pay for the consequences of their actions.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, for sure. Wow.
So, yay! So I hope all you listeners go out and figure out what's happening in their city or drive to another city if they have to. But, you know, there's tons of cities having this, right?
Or even just do it locally. Like, you could just do it locally if you need to. Just go out on the street corner and,
Sure, exactly. And there's also, I know out of Toronto, they just contacted me, there's going to be and I'll put that link up on Canada Skywatch too, they have been running for the last 10 weeks, or I think it 8 weeks, every Sunday they have been doing interviews with all the cities, the individuals from the cities who have been organizing this.
Oh.
And, so as a lead up to, and so on Sunday, August 25th, they're going to have a 6-hour show. And everybody from the respective cities is going to call in. And their correspondents are going to call in and say, and tell them how the march is going.
Oh, yeah, excellent.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. It's, you know, that's going to be history. That's going to be fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, good, good. Okay, well, okay, so there's some hope here.
There's a lot of hope. You know, we've learned a lot of things because of these things that they have done to us, and we have had to find the wherewithal within ourselves to fight it and combat it. So these are lessons learned.
Yeah, yeah, for sure, for sure.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to coordinate events before. I really didn't. I didn't. I thought it was a big mystery. It was like, oh, how do you do it? How do you do it? You know, and now it's pretty easy. You know, it's not easy, but, you know, I know how to do it. You know, it's not a big mystery to me.
Yeah. Yeah, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's awesome.
Wow, you just look at the world today. It's like the world has descended into chaos with all these fights in the Middle East and just... terrible things all around the world, and it's like, why don't we have a sane government, like some people who have some intelligence and care for the people? Like, what happened to us? I'm very in despair about the human race and what I see has been done. It's just terrible. All these Middle Eastern wars and everybody involved in Syria and Egypt, all these things are terrible. You know, it's just like, where are people's heads at? Like, why can't we solve these problems? And you see the UN has done nothing. The UN is like a garbage institution, even though there may be some legitimate people in it. But it's like the ownership of the UN, it seems to be the same tribe who own everything else.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, wars, the conflict is going to happen, and it does happen, you know, and they're growing pains, too. We're talking, you know, it's going to happen, you know, these things, and people will have to figure it out. It's part of growing pains of humanity, you know.
Yeah, well, it's nice to hear from you and Tony and hear your upswing and encouragement, especially about the geoengineering march next week, which is really important. And I hope people get out and attend that somewhere across North America.
Well, geez, so do I, Christopher. And thank you for having this nice, this great radio show that gives us a chance to get it out there. And, you know, if it's any consolation, I guess it didn't. We know it didn't just start yesterday. This, you know, I think the internet has just made people aware of the level of control that we're under, and so I think it didn't. I don't think it started yesterday. But it might be ending now. Like Asana says, might be ending now. You know.
Yeah. I hope so.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. We all do.
Okay. Maybe, Asana, maybe you want to just give out your web addresses. You've mentioned CanadaSkyWatch.com.
Yes, CanadaSkyWatch.com. That's going to be the information for all the links that you would need for all the stuff that we talked about today. And also for the newspaper, the latest by Will Thomas, you want to go to newagora.ca and read or order or subscribe and get the Agorama newspaper. It's fantastic. It delves into all sorts of subject matters that I think your listeners are going to be interested in. And yeah, that's the one. You can get to all the other websites by just going to CanadaSkyWatch.com.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. You and Tony, thank you both very much for being on the show today and helping me get through the whole 2 hours. 2 hours is a long time, eh?
Yeah, it's been a delight. Thank you. You know, it's a big boost. It's really helpful. It gets the message out there. Thank you so much, Christopher.
Okay, I hope to get out and see you guys again. I need another holiday. I was fun being out there.
Well, you're welcome. You're welcome out here anytime, Christopher. good pleasure to have you anytime.
Yeah, thanks, Tony. Yeah, I stayed with Tony when I was in BC last summer. It was excellent. Okay,
yeah, and
thank
there's
you.
The, you know, 9/11 truth, I think the 12th anniversary is coming up. I guess this is this time around, right?
Yeah.
So we'll have to do another conference. This, you know, the summer now, coming up right now, September 11th is going to be the 12th anniversary, commemoration or whatever. And, you know, 12 is an actual turnaround. You know, there's 12 zodiac signs. This 12 is an actual, you know, a turnaround of some of sorts. Yeah, we're going to have another conference for that, for God's sake. That's still, that's, you know, I get a lot of people asking about that. Lots of people still open to that. The conflict that's happening in the Middle East is a direct result of what happened at 9/11. And their foothold into spying and NSA, all that happened because of 9/11. All that was allowed because of their so-called war on terror, you know, on a now.
Yeah, the phony war on terror. My goodness.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thank you both very much. And we'll keep in touch again and get you back on next time we have another major event coming up. And
awesome.
Yeah, thanks very much, Tony. Asane.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Goodbye. Okay, well, that's the end of Zero Point Radio Show for today. Dee, I think, will be carrying next week's show. And every second week we're on at this time, 4 to 6 Eastern. Thank you, BBS Radio. If people want to see my website, it's www.zeropoint.ca. Okay, take care. Goodbye.